Hello, 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 Nevada shooters. You are back with Armed Nevada Radio. If you are within the listening distance of the dulcet tones of my voice, you know that you're here with Ben and Gary on 107.3 FM K News, Armed Nevada Radio. It's 3:07 p.m. on December 5th. Benjamin.
Yeah.
Oh, come on now.
Yeah. I don't even know where to start this week.
We got a lot to cover.
It's unbelievable.
Like, it is.
I don't recognize the country that we live in right now. Honestly.
No, it's madness. What is going on right now is madness.
Well, I feel like we went to bed, you know, after our show last week, having reality be one way, and we woke up to something completely different this week.
Yeah, there's a storm brewing on the horizon. I have no doubts about that at all. I think that this is probably going to be the last straw, this tragic event. And I don't want to politicize it because, as you know, you and I will be the first ones to jump on something for politicizing things.
How do we not, though, when the opposition politicizes it while it's still occurring?
But if we criticize, and I hear you, you're right. If we criticize them for politicizing it, we need to take the higher road because that's who we are at our core. However.
Yeah, but the problem I feel like now is if we don't counter their attitudes or counter their claims and counter their politicalization of this event, then we're going to get drowned out and they're going to monopolize the narrative about this and they're going to create a narrative that is not accurate as to what's going on, and we'll put this country in further risk.
We're going downhill fast. I mean, it's happening. It's going to continue to happen. I hate to sound like a pessimist. I don't see any light at the end of this tunnel right now.
Oh, I don't either.
You know, this event was. I don't want to minimize it by calling it an event. This was a horrible. This was a mass homicide on a traumatic scale. I feel my heart bleeds for these LEOs, these law enforcement officers that were first on scene. I don't know if you were watching the news last night. They were interviewing a patrol. Actually, he's not a patrol lieutenant. He's an admin lieutenant with San Bernardino PD.
Yeah, I did see that.
Who just happened to be going to lunch. He doesn't even work the street anymore.
Right.
And responded, set up a perimeter. He went through in detail about how they handled the response. And you could see, you could hear the horror in his voice 2 days later.
Oh, yeah.
When he described the scene on the inside, what they saw.
Well, you and I both know a lot of these veteran cops that signed up before September 11th, they never expected that they were going to be the front lines of a terror war.
No, they didn't. We never did. I have seen some horrible things in my career, but...
Right. This is different.
What they're going through now, these are very hard times to be a police officer. It really is. My heart bleeds for these guys. This whole situation, I couldn't stop myself. I called in on Sean's show, on Sean Travis and Dave yesterday.
Yeah.
And here's an angle that I don't think a lot of people are looking at, is you look at what happened in San Bernardino, and you look at this president's response to it, and you look at the left's response to it, and Democratic senators and congressmen, and look at them. They are in panic mode right now. They are falling all over themselves trying to spin this as anything
other
but terrorism.
Yep.
Anything other than what it is. They are going crazy with panic trying to spin this to be something else because they don't want to admit that it was jihadi terrorism, Islamic terrorism on our soil.
Right.
More facts came out today.
Yeah, I saw that.
The wife, 27-year-old wife,
has ISIS connections.
Pledged her allegiance to ISIS.
Yep.
Radicalized her husband.
Mm-hmm.
Look, this guy did not just go to his Halloween, his Christmas party, and get pissed off because somebody didn't pass the onion dip quick enough.
Well, no, what it sounds like is that whatever the onion dip or whatever the disagreement was his excuse to excuse himself from the party so that he could conduct his attack.
It might have been bacon dip, now that I think about it. That would probably upset him.
Or ham.
Or
holiday ham.
Yeah, holiday ham. Could have been that. This was planned well in advance. There are more people involved in this. There were at least three other individuals that neighbors said they saw in this home working all hours of night in the garage. Turns out they did have a bomb-making factory in the garage of the house. Look, this is terrorism. It's not workplace violence.
No.
It's not Major Hidal Nassan copyrighted, you know, or 2.0.
Yeah.
This is terrorism.
Plain and simple.
Not on the scale of loss of life as Paris or 9/11, obviously, but this is 14 lives. Look, I don't care if it was one life.
But you know what? This is exactly what we warned about, what, a couple of weeks ago when we said these are the smaller scale attacks.
Yeah.
That, you know, these people weren't on law enforcement's radar, right?
No,
you
they weren't.
And that's what's going to continue to happen is that I think that ISIS has learned from the errors of Al-Qaeda, where Al-Qaeda planned grand things,
mm-hmm.
which are easier to intercept, easier to, you know, collect intelligence regarding, whereas these guys, you know, they acquired weapons that weren't, you know, legal in California. That's not exactly, you know, high priority on DHS's list, you know, and you've got them building bombs quietly in their garage. And
yep.
those are the things that are going to continue to pass under the radar, and they pose the greatest threat.
Let me ask you a question. What existing gun laws in California, knowing that that California has some of the strictest gun purchase laws in the country,
right?
What gun laws would have prevented this? What
None.
Extra gun laws would
None.
Have prevented this?
None.
Okay.
None.
The male shooter purchased both handguns. He bought those guns legally
right.
on a .44-73.
Right.
Bought the guns.
Yep.
The two ARs, the DPMS
yep.
and the
Smith
& M&P,
yep.
were purchased by a straw purchaser out of state.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
What gun laws will stop that?
They won't.
This is a road to confiscation.
And I think that's the other reason why there's is it panic or frenzy or I don't know what the right word is from the people on the left that
panic
here. Well, panic, yes, but I think also there's some massive spin going on.
Oh, sure there is. You know why? Because this throws the president's entire agenda,
foreign policy, and
into a toilet.
Policy. Yeah,
what's it going to do to the refugee situation? Okay, you think people right now want more Syrian refugees in this country following this thing?
Well,
I don't care that they weren't Syrian refugees.
Remind me, we need to discuss that too, because there's a part of this. But going back to California's gun laws, here we have a state where you have universal background checks,
mm-hmm.
you have waiting periods, you have magazine capacity limits and bans,
yes.
you have an assault, de facto assault weapon ban.
Correct.
Where you have to have bullet buttons, so it's a non-detachable magazine.
No bayonet lug, no flash suppressors.
Right.
No flash suppressors.
You know, I'm trying to think what. Well, and then you've got the roster of approved handguns. So you know they're down to a fraction of what's available to us in the other 48 states, besides maybe New York.
Does California have a waiting period?
They do.
Was it 5 days?
Seven.
7 days. So waiting period.
7 or 10. It's a longer one. 7 or 10. I know the courts had struck it down, but I don't know if the DOJ there in California is actually given the go ahead to forego that. So, but here you have all of the things that are on the liberal wish list, you know, per guns, right? And none of that prevented this, and it won't, and it can't.
No.
The other thing that this is bringing to light is California has all of the gun control laws that the left has wanted and demanded for the rest of the country. But, you know, the other thing I'm noticing is the ignorance that exists on the left, both in terms of people in power
mm-hmm.
and their supporters in the general public when it comes to gun laws. You know, because I'm an artist, so to speak, right? I have a lot of kind of liberal-minded friends on my Facebook. And after this occurred, you know, people are saying we have to do something.
Right.
Oh, well, I love those discussions because then I present the question is, okay, you're demanding to do something. Let me see your list of things you want to do. And many of those friends would post things that are already illegal. And it's...
Yep. The laws are on the books. They exist. I can't for the life of me imagine any additional laws that you could possibly come up with
no.
that would prevent evil from committing evil.
No. No. Well, no. Here's a perfect example. France, right?
Mm-hmm.
Super, super strict gun laws to the point where we're talking law enforcement only, right?
Right.
And if you look at Barack Obama's agenda, that's his paradise right there, right? A nation where there is no or very few private ownership of guns,
mm-hmm.
almost no private ownership of handguns, and virtually no concealed carry outside of law enforcement.
Right.
And that didn't stop. Those guys had automatic weapons. Those guys had, you know, quote unquote assault yeah. rifles.
And they're taking these weapons cross border.
So
we're going to hold that thought. We're going up against a break right now.
There's not enough time.
I want you to hang on guys. When we come back, we're going to talk about this a little bit more. I know this is foreshadowing the show, but this is something that's important. We're also going to talk about from the, is it even legal to be this stupid department?
There's so much of that going on right now.
CNN correspondent, and of course, a quote by Barbara Boxer yesterday that just has me shaking my head. All right, hang around through the break. We'll be back. KNews 107.3 on Nevada Radio with Ben. Shoot the ground, quiet and kill. All right, listeners, we're back on KNews 107.3 Armvad Radio. Listening to Ben and Gary. We had a bunch of stuff that I'm sure we're going to talk about. I don't know if we're going to get to it today because this seems to be at the front of
I don't know. I mean, we could talk for probably 3 hours about all of this today.
We could. I hate to, but it's out there.
You know what? I have no reservations in saying that this is going to cause a push from the left for an assault weapon ban, whether through executive action or legislative attempt.
I don't know that they'll get it this time.
They may not, but
it's a different atmosphere than it was in 94.
Well, for sure. But they're going to try.
Sure they will. And sure they will.
Now,
because then they're, I'm putting air quotes up, then they're doing something about the problem.
And speaking of assault weapons, you know, and then we had you talked about the press being completely ignorant and
illiterate.
Just absolutely stupid.
Yeah.
The assault clothing.
Oh, my God. On that note, I'm wearing my assault pants today.
I saw that.
Are you scared?
I was actually.
You were intimidated?
I was. You know, and then the rush through the press's ignorance. Assault clothing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Body armor that turned out not to be body armor.
Right. There were LBVs, load-bearing vests.
Right. Chest rigs. I mean, just... And then how many... Assault ammunition. I saw that one. Did you see that one?
Yeah, I saw that one. Assault ammunition. The scary looking 223 rounds and all the stripper clips. It's out of control. Oh, and a Fox correspondent was talking about the IUD factory that in the garage of his house. Manufacturing improvised uterine devices. Apparently they're birth control terrorists.
Well,
come on, get it right.
But you know what? What is scary to me is that ignorance gives birth to things like the TSA. Ignorance mm-hmm. gives birth to things like the DHS, which I think are completely, they're ineffective.
Oh, they're useless.
You know, that was
bloated bureaucracy.
That was our knee-jerk reaction to institute the TSA, right?
Yeah.
And how effective has the TSA been?
Oh, completely ineffective.
Right.
What's their failure rate on found firearms?
97%.
97 out of 100 guns they missed.
They're hiring people off of the terrorist watch list or the no-fly list.
Yeah. How does that happen?
But what I'm getting at is that is what I'm afraid that's what's going to happen. You know, maybe not this attack, but let's say we have another one in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month.
Well, I don't know if you watch Megyn Kelly. She had a gentleman on her show a couple weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, right before the Paris attack.
Yeah.
Actually, right after the Paris attack. He was a former CIA operative that had been embedded in Al-Qaeda.
Okay.
After the Paris operation, he predicted, he said, within 2 weeks, we will have a copycat terrorist attack on our own soil. What happened almost 2 weeks to the day?
Yeah.
San Bernardino.
Right.
He's back on the show last night. He says, I almost hate to say it because when I say it, it comes true. He says, but my feeling is that after January 1, he says, we are going to see mass attacks in this country.
I think it's entirely possible, and I think it's probable. You know what? For the first time the other night, I was doing safety security team for church.
Mm-hmm.
I wore my soft armor under my sweatshirt. We live in a... Call me paranoid, whatever.
No,
I mean,
no,
we live in
prepared.
We live in a world where.
Well, let's switch gears a little bit here. I want to introduce something. This is news called "Is It Even Legal to Be This Stupid?" Department.
Okay, let's hear it.
Erin Burnett is a correspondent on CNN, and she was on yesterday with two FBI analysts talking about the San Bernardino shooting. And these two FBI analysts were being very eloquent, laying the groundwork out for that this is absolutely terrorism. There is no two ways around that. And Erin Burnett, in her quest to continue to spin this to be anything other than terrorism.
Is this worse than the president referring to it as workplace, as possible workplace violence?
It's on par. Stand by and listen to this.
I mean, obviously her involvement is a game changer in how law enforcement will look at this. But I just have to ask you, could there be something else, anything else that could have explained her involvement? Something like a postpartum psychosis.
Oh, my gosh.
What?
Wait.
Play that again one more time. I want to make sure that everybody heard that. Listen. Wait for it. It's coming.
And that was their plan.
Jim, I mean, obviously her involvement is a game changer in how law enforcement will look at this. But I just have to ask you, could there be something else, anything else that could have explained her involvement? Something like a postpartum psychosis.
wait. Could her involvement change the way law enforcement looks at this? Never mind the fact that she holds a Pakistani passport who has been known to harbor terrorists, right?
Oh, my God.
And the fact that she's here on a fiancé visa.
Yes.
The fact that she's got ties and pledged allegiance to ISIS.
Yes.
That doesn't mean anything.
No. She was feeling blue after the birth of her child, and that's what caused this was postpartum depression.
What?
It may have been the pain of psoriasis. Or... What, you know, I could have been gout. Maybe it was gout that did it.
But you know
an
what?
An ingrown toenail.
How can we fight the war of this generation? How can we even entertain the thought of victory over radical Islam when this is the crap that we're putting up with? Or that we're being fed, right?
This is beyond stupid. I have never in my life heard a more I'm not even going to say ignorant, because ignorance can be corrected with knowledge. I have never in my life heard a more deliberately stupid question from a media professional in my life. That is off the scale.
Well, do you think Hitler conducted the Holocaust because he had migraines? I mean, what?
It could have been.
What?
It could have been. Why didn't we understand that?
I realize that's CNN, and I shouldn't be getting so worked up about them, but...
They still have a responsibility. Come on. It's still a media organization, regardless how retarded they are.
They?
There's that term again. Sorry. Hey,
direct all complaints to
Gary Underhill at Arm Nevada Radio.
Yeah.
Runner up on that. I don't have the audio for it, but it's been all over the interwebs. Barbara Boxer. Did you hear this quote?
Or Feinstein? I know Feinstein was on the air
yesterday. Barbara Boxer said, sensible gun laws work. We have proven that in the state of California.
Uh-huh.
Let that sink in for a minute.
Yeah.
We have sensible gun laws work. We've proven that in the state of California. Are you high?
They must be.
I'm speechless.
Well, did you... Okay, so... Let's talk about sensible gun laws. The proposal this week, did you see, they want to make it illegal for anybody on the no-fly list or a terrorist watch list to be able to purchase a gun, right?
Okay.
All right, so this is where we're preying on ignorance. Because on the face of it, that doesn't sound like a bad idea, right? On the face of it.
I know where you're going with this.
If I'm me 10 years ago living in California, not, you know, paying as close of attention as I should, yeah, that sounds like a great idea, right? Okay, and that's where I'm fearful that most people in urban areas, that's where they go. They're like, oh, that's a great idea. We shouldn't sell terrorist guns.
Yep.
I agree. We shouldn't sell terrorist guns. The only problem is the no-fly list and the terrorist watch list are lists that do not include any provision for due process. So
no,
you
they don't.
Can be added to that list, yep. One, without your knowledge, and two, without any sort of due process that is proving.
I know two people personally.
I know somebody who have
the four S's of death on their boarding passes every time. If you don't know what the four S's of death are, you get your boarding pass when you check in for your flight. You go through TSA. You get the four S's of death. They're climbing up your backside with a search warrant and a flashlight. You'll be lucky to make your flight on time.
Right.
And they have no due process. And these two individuals have done nothing.
Well, but there's a Fox News. What was his name yesterday? Anyways.
Ducey?
One of the Fox News guys is on the no-fly list.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt that.
And, you know, so here you've got a guy, you know, that he was talking about it yesterday. No felony convictions, you know, nothing going on. He mm-hmm. somehow ended up on this no-fly list. So his constitutional rights were taken away by an administrator in Washington at DHS or whoever else. And no, that's not the way this country works.
Right.
And so am I against taking away somebody's right to own firearms through a list that has no due process or oversight? I'm against that, absolutely.
Well, and that is where it's headed. The bigger agenda is, I believe, eventually the confiscation of firearms. But that begs the question, who the hell are they going to get to do it? Who are they going to get to do it?
Well, but see, I'm more afraid of the confiscation is really this backdoor preventing you from purchasing it.
Right. Well, we're up against a break. When we come back, I'm gonna find the audio on break. I want you to listen to this exchange between Fox News correspondent Ducey and Josh Earnest that happened yesterday during the presidential press briefing.
Kay.
We'll find that. We've got that coming back. So hang on. We'll be right back after the break. KNews 107.3 FM, Arm Nevada Radio. All right, boys and girls, you're back with Ben and Gary on KNews 107.3 Arm Nevada Radio. We're talking about is it even legal to be this stupid segment today? And the next audio that I want to bring up, Ben, I think you heard this one, didn't you?
Yeah.
I don't know how many of our listeners have heard it. This is an exchange between Peter Ducey, the Deuce Man from Fox News Channel, and Josh Earnest, the human pipeline for the Barack Obama administration. So I want you to listen to this exchange and pay very close attention, not only the question that Peter Ducey asks, but also Josh Earnest's response, and ask yourself, how in the hell does he say this with a straight face? Go.
President Obama yesterday jumped to say that this mass shooting means it's time for common sense gun laws. Does the president really think that common sense gun laws would deter terrorists now that he has admitted these two may have been terrorists?
Wait for it.
Yes.
Ah!
The president believes passing common sense gun laws that makes it harder for people with bad intentions to get guns makes the country safer.
But so the president thinks that when there are potentially two terrorists sitting around planning a mass murder, they may call it off because President Obama has put in place common sense gun laws.
Well, Peter, we're still learning of the precise motives.
I'm not going to answer the question.
Backpedal.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
One thing we do know is that the four firearms they were wielding were legally purchased under the laws that are in place now. That's a fact.
No, it's not a fact.
So that might lead some to conclude that we should have made it a little bit harder for them.
Actually, if the rifle
would that change the entire outcome? We're still investigating the situation. But I guess the question is, why wouldn't we? Why wouldn't we make it harder for them? What's the explanation for that?
Yeah, okay, nice try. Nice try, Opie.
Wait. So the administration rushes to judgment, right? You know, the president comments on it as it's still happening before he has any of the facts.
Exactly.
But then when a reporter points out the lunacy of what they've said, then they, wait, the investigation is not done yet.
# are you brain damaged? Josh Earnest outright manipulates the facts of the case right now, because he knew at the time of this press conference, the president knew, because he had been briefed, the investigation had been made public, this part of it anyway, that only two of those guns, the handguns, were purchased legally.
Right.
The two AR-15s were purchased by a straw purchaser from another state who is now under investigation. They're trying to find that person. So, no, those two guns were not purchased legally.
And
of the gun laws that are in effect in California allowed the purchase of the two handguns. So,
right.
So what?
Technically, if those guns don't have bullet buttons, they are not supposed to be imported into California. So they were not possessed legally.
No, they weren't. They were imported in the back of a trunk wrapped up in a blanket, I'm sure. They were both felonies. Yeah, both those guns were automatic felonies.
So
the magazines were felonies.
Press secretary doesn't know what he's talking about.
He lied. He outright lied. And he tried to manipulate that and spin it to go another way. And he had brain damaged.
Here's ATF says weapons used in San Bernardino. Hold up. It never pulls up when we're on the air.
Yeah.
ATF says weapons used in San Bernardino shooting were illegal in California.
Yes, they were.
Okay,
Absolutely correct.
So the ATF is contradicting the president.
Right.
Which actually is kind of ironic.
Well, let's explain for our listeners why they were illegal. Number one, 30-round magazine capacity.
And
you can see on there's a photograph, actually, that Fox News is up here in the corner right now.
Yep.
You look, there's a photograph. You can see both magazine release buttons are in place.
Where they're traditional, not the bullet button.
Right.
So in the state of California, possession of an unregistered assault weapon, quote-unquote assault weapon, I hate that term, but I'll use their terminology, that so you can have it if it was registered before they passed their prohibition on assault weapons. Okay.
With the exception of the magazines.
But here's the thing. These are newer rifles that I guarantee are after the implementation of their assault weapon ban. So the thing is importation of a regular AR-15 like those are without the bullet buttons that allow for detachable magazines, that is absolutely a felony.
A California legal AR has no bayonet lug.
Right.
It has no forward pistol grip.
Right.
It has no magazine release, and it has no flash suppressor.
Right.
I'm not sure if the collapsible stock is an issue. But they also have 10-round magazines.
That was under the federal assault weapon ban.
If I'm not mistaken, and somebody on Facebook, let me know if I'm wrong about this, but my understanding is that if I remember back to this summer, when California's legislation went into effect and Governor Brown signed it into law, making it a felony to possess 30-round magazines in the state of California. Not only that, but there was no grandfathering in of those magazines. You must, they notified everybody in the state, you must turn those magazines in.
No, I think you can still, I think there's still a grandfather provision, but I guarantee these people didn't have it.
I think there was a grandfather provision if you could provide proof that you purchased them prior to the law.
Right.
And Ben, did you save any receipts from your magazines?
No.
Can you prove that you're in lawful possession of 30-round magazines, let's say, for the sake of argument, you live in California?
No, I wouldn't be able to.
No.
Very few of my friends.
You know how many people
California.
Turned their magazines in after Governor Brown signed this law?
Zero.
Zero.
Well, that was the L.A. ban. But so here, clearly, we have the weapons were not legal.
Mm-hmm.
Not legal to be owned. They were not bullet button guns. Clearly, I mean, the narrative that these guns were owned legally or purchased legally is not... It's not holding water.
No, absolutely not.
All right. Well, I guess, you know, we've spent almost three segments talking about how we've gotten here, what some of the things that have happened.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe in the next segment, I think we should talk about what it is. How do we as gun owners, I mean, where do we go from here? What are the things that we need to change about the way that we conduct ourselves?
Well, let's hold on to that thought. We're going to come back when we wrap up the show here in a little bit.
Keep going. You guys still have 4 minutes.
Oh, we got four. Oh, I thought you said we're...
You're tapping your watch over there.
Time, 4 minutes to go. Time, 4 minutes.
You know what? Sean is a radio professional.
He is.
I'm in the presence of a god
now. See, you know what? Boone and I, we have this thing. Uh-huh. I just kind of show him time, four... You know, and he gets it.
I just saw the watch.
I assumed a former military guy, you could figure that stuff out.
Why don't we, Sean? Why don't we have a thing? How come you and Ben and I don't have a thing? How come?
Why is it only Boone?
Because I spend 3 hours with him every Saturday. I only spend an hour with you guys.
Wow, that's hurtful.
And we've been doing an hour and a half. I've been doing a year and a half with him. We're only about 4 months with you guys.
No, since May.
Oh yeah, we started doing this in May.
7 months. Okay,
you were asleep.
That's a big difference.
Three.
Okay.
It's felt like only four. Well, that's how enjoyable it
that's
is.
That's because you never stick around while we're taping.
I have things to do, man. I'm a busy guy.
Yeah, whatever.
He is a busy guy. I can attest to that.
Yeah.
I can tell you. Sean's been very good to us. I gotta say.
See, now you only have 3 minutes left in this segment.
All right. So.
Well, actually, you know what, Sean?
Yes.
Since you're on the mic right now, I'm going to loop you in. Would you call yourself a casual carrier?
Yes.
That you don't wake up and strap your gun to your hip.
Correct.
When you go out. And,
correct.
Okay.
I do believe the events of the other day in San Bernardino, California may have changed that.
All right. Well, actually.
Good to hear.
There was an article that came out this morning in one of the gun blogs that was saying that casual carriers, it's time to step up, put up or shut up was basically the gist of the article. And I know a lot of my friends that have concealed carry permits, they're casual carriers. Oh, if I'm going to a bad neighborhood, I'll put it on. Or if I'm going to be out late, I'll put it on. Or, you know. I think that attitude has to change.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, by thinking about it, you know, and hanging out with our friend Boone Cutler, the PSYOPer and all, I've been really thinking about this stuff and how the dynamic of radical Islamic terrorism is probably going to change, because these attacks like we had at San Bernardino are going to put more fear into Americans than, you know, the big mass attack. Like when you go to a sporting event, when you go to a concert, you go to a big mall or something like that, you always at least in the back of my mind, there's always that possibility that something bad could happen.
Right.
But little small attacks like this, if you can call 14 people dead being a small attack,
but in comparison,
at a completely random place, at a random time, I hate to tell you, but ISIS is winning. They're winning the PSYOP game.
Yeah.
They're creating an environment to where we are now, every single one of us that works with a Muslim person is now looking at that Muslim person going, could that be you? Could this be you? And this is what
And if it was, how many would speak up? Look at the neighbor in San Bernardino.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't say anything. I saw it. I knew what was going on. My spidey senses were in overdrive, but I didn't say anything because I didn't want to be accused of profiling.
Mm-hmm. Or being a racist.
That's what this country has done to people.
Yep.
You know what? Let me talk about profiling real quick. You know why security at Ben Gurion Airport in Israel, in Tel Aviv, works so damn well?
Because they profile.
Yep. Well, so back to our point here. So, Sean, you're going to be carrying your firearm more regularly?
A lot more regularly.
Yeah. And I applaud that. And I think that that's unfortunately, is the new world we live in.
It is.
It's the new reality. And I've always said, I think we talked about it a few weeks ago, you know, September 11th, I think after a while was easy for people to say, that wasn't me. That was New York City. That was, you know, that was
that
something.
That was Paris, France.
Right. That was huge. You know, I don't.
It was 14 years ago in New York. You know, yeah.
This is.
This was Monday or Tuesday in San Bernardino,
at
California.
At a holiday party or
whatever.
What's
the population of San Bernardino? 250,000, I think?
Probably.
Is what they said?
Probably about the same size as Reno.
Yeah. Reno Sparks. Do you think San Bernardino, for the life of them, ever thought that would happen there?
No.
No. All right. We're going to be back. We're going to wrap the show up now. We're going to wrap the show up. This was a quick 4 minutes. I get so tied up and everything, I lose my track of time. We'll be right back after this break. KNews 107.3, Ben and Gary, Armed Nevada Radio. All right, we're back, shooters. You're listening to Ben and Gary on Armed Nevada Radio.
This is a heavy show.
It is a heavy show. You know, I had an idea coming in here of what we want to talk about 4 days ago.
Yeah.
You know, before San Bernardino happened. And unfortunately, this event has just overshadowed
everything.
And it does relate directly to our gun rights. It does. Yeah. I hate to – God, I feel like a pig for saying something like that, but it does. Because I don't want to be one of those people that, you know, decries the left for politicizing this, and then I politicize it as well. So that's not my intent.
But you know what?
You broke up.
That's a perfect segue to the next thing that, and I know this isn't truly gun related, but that's a perfect lead into, you know, a lot of people use the hashtag prayers for San Bernardino.
Right.
And in previous incidences, I've been quick to say, hey, you know what? Praying for those people and their families. Because I am a person of faith, and I believe in God, and I, man, the last week, that
how
seems
dare
to be,
you.
I know, and
right
did you see, did you see the furor and the hate that was poured on people that used that hashtag and said prayers for San
Who
Bernardino,
was it,
the Daily News in New York?
The Daily News in New York.
God won't fix
wipe
this.
Wipe my butt with the Daily News in New York.
Well, and so,
well, let's say again, the headline on the Daily News in New York, I set up the front page for everybody. You get the, it's like a National Enquirer kind of a format, right? Big, big giant newspaper style magazine.
I think the Post is that way too. New York
the
Post.
The Post is, but the Post, did you see what the Post put on there?
Well,
on their cover?
They've been
Muslim killers.
They've been almost conservative lately.
So the New York Daily News, their page, front page of their paper, it's got big white letters. It says, God isn't going to fix this. And then bordering that, you've got tweets that were put out by Ben Carson, Christie, Carly Fiorina, Trump, Cruz, Rubio, saying, you know, prayers for San Bernardino. We must pray for the people, for the families, et cetera. And the Daily News outright mocks.
Yeah.
Mocks God, not just mocking people for of prayer, but mocking God himself.
Well, and then one of the articles within that paper was saying that, you know what, all of you Christians need to stop invoking God and start doing something to prevent this. Like,
yeah, I saw that too. And the one senator that said on the Senate floor that mocking those senators and those candidates on the Republican side, saying, you better pray for forgiveness. That's where your prayer is going to go because
we are eating ourselves.
You're going to need it.
We are literally.
We're like a wounded dog chewing at our own leg.
And can rewind to September 11th or even San Bernardino here.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Me here in Reno, what else can I do for those families? I can maybe donate some money. But you know what? Prayers, as it's happening, you know, as a person of faith, that's what I can do. And for people then to turn around and mock that, that's disgusting. But it also, I think, you know, we just got done talking to Sean about the psychological operation that's going on with ISIS.
Mm-hmm.
This is it right here. We are playing into it. We're attacking people of faith, Christians.
Yep.
We are attacking anybody that says that this is Islamic, radical Islam motivated. I mean, we are the liberal media has played, I think, right into their hands to the point where I don't believe we have the backbone to fight this anymore.
Listen, we need prayer in these times now more than ever.
Oh, absolutely.
These are the most desperate times, I think, in our national history, if not in world history, since the rise of socialist Nazi Germany beginning in 1936 and the Holocaust of World War I and World War II.
Well, but if you think about it, I think that we are... This is as dangerous as the Civil War. Because if you look at World War II, I mean, there were some divisions there, but for the most part, the nation got behind the war effort. And but I mean, we're divided.
There is more racial division in this country now.
Well, not only racial, but we have political ideology.
Class division, ideology division.
And when our president is getting up and he's basically denying, just this week, talking about how climate change, excuse me, is a bigger risk than global terrorism. Unbelievable.
What the hell is wrong with that man? I used to think that he was just too stupid to do the job.
No.
I really did. I used to think that he was that incompetent because, you know, you have to be an employee of 7-Eleven tapping on a cash register for a longer period of time in order to get promoted to manager than he spent in the Senate. And he's the leader of the free world. I used to think he was just that dumb.
No.
That he
no.
was just that incompetent.
His worldview is this way.
This is all becoming very crystal clear. This is all part of a much larger agenda.
Yep.
This man is brilliant. This man is evil. This man does not... He hates this country as he envisions it.
Wait, where do you think we stand on this?
I hope I'm clear where I stand on this.
Yeah. All right. I'm going back and forth. I feel like I've been this way the whole week. There's so much to think about. There's so much to digest. You and I we like to stand up for what we, you know, formulate an opinion and stand up for it. I just, you know, so we talked about casual carriers. And I think per my previous comment, it's a fair question is, do we as citizens, where do you think body armor now fits into our...
Oh, that's the next thing on the ban list.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
They're going to try and ban body armor. I think they will try and ban assault, scary-looking clothing. I mean, where does it end? I mean, where does the lunacy end? Listen, if they're this delusional now, what's going to stop them from banning all sorts of things? Now they're talking about the attorney general's talking about criminalizing hate speech.
Oh, wait. Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding me?
So anything you say against Muslims now is considered hate speech.
Well, what about, you know, so our faith, Christianity, you know, what's to say that doesn't get labeled hate speech?
You know what? You better come to my door with a SWAT team and a search warrant. Because I'm not shutting up.
We digress a little bit. So,
we need to once in a while.
Concealed carriers.
Mm-hmm.
Body armor. Do we wear it?
Body armor is concealable by the definition, but
the fact that it's the most uncomfortable thing you'll ever wear.
It's uncomfortable at times. You get used to it after a while. You know,
do we wear
number
it?
One? I would.
Does it become a priority to wear?
It's another tool on your tool belt.
Yep.
Right. It's gonna. You know, if I've got soft body armor and I can put it between my family and I, to give them an extra barrier protection in the worst case scenario, sure.
Well, so what about,
I wouldn't besmirch people for wearing it.
What about today? Like a day like today, would you wear it? I mean, both of us are not wearing it, obviously.
Me
today.
Personally, no, I don't. I don't know. That's a hard question to answer. I can advocate the wearing of it. I can see the purpose for it. I wore it every day on the job for 26 straight years. Four or five, six days a week, 10, 12 hours a day, every day. I never took it off. Would I wear it as a civilian now? I don't know. You know, if you're going to, you better go out and train with it because you move much differently, even in soft, concealable body armor. Yeah, I mean, there's a place for it. I wouldn't decry anybody for wearing it.
I mean, comfort-wise, it sucks.
It depends what you get.
Well,
there's some that are very comfortable. There's others that are not.
Mine's not very comfortable, so maybe... Yeah.
No, it is expensive, though. I mean, you can't go down to the Acme Body Armor store and drop $30 on a soft cover.
But you know what?
Front and back panel.
What about nothing about our, and maybe this goes to that training mindset, nothing about our lifestyle is cheap.
And, no,
I mean,
it's not.
Isn't it a little ridiculous, though, that, one of my buddies will go out and drop $800 on a brand new H&K, but yet, you know, $600 to drop on a 2A or level three vest is too much.
Oh, I wouldn't do anything less than level three.
But isn't that always kind of the issue though with our community is that I can't train because it's too expensive.
Right.
All right. Well, you know, you just went out and bought, you know, and I'm guilty of this. You know, I love gear. You know, you go out and spend $1,500 on a new rifle, but you can't train.
Well,
with
a good quality level three Kevlar vest, front and back panel that's concealable, is going to run you $700 easily.
I think Scorpius here in town, I shouldn't have name dropped.
You can't take that bullet back. Yeah, I did.
But I think they sell here locally.
So Scorpius, you're welcome.
You're right. You just got a free name drop.
Damn
Darn it.
It.
There's a local retailer that sells us a concealable soft vest. I want to say for like $650 or something. Check the website.
Yeah, it's right around $700.
So
but research what you get, though. I mean, if you're going to go out and buy soft body armor on our advice, research it first. Just don't go out and buy the first thing you see. Hey, we're getting the wrap up sign. I want to end it on a bright note today. You know, my daughter Ashley, she's a paralegal in Illinois. She works part time as a bartender in a really cool little neighborhood bar in Bethalto. I want to give a shout out to the boys at the bar. They listen faithfully every single Saturday. They listen to our show in Bethalto, Illinois.
We have listeners in the People's Republic of Illinois.
We do. So I think we have 5 listeners now. We're up to a total of 5. So, guys, I want to thank you. Tip a beer for Ben and I or an Angry Orchard for Ben. I don't know, Ashley, if you sell that fruity stuff over there at your bar. I think it's all bottled Budweiser.
I'm going to kick you.
Tip one for us anyway. Guys, have a great week. Everybody out there, stay vigilant. Stay safe. Stay armed.
Right.
And Ben?
Yeah, stay safe, stay armed.
We'll see everybody next week.
Watch your 6.
All righty, folks. Bye.